It is Monday, November 15th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning with myself and Chris Drew as we talk about the weekend of college football and also just the landscape of sports, of football mainly. But we tend to touch on a thing here or there that is not football oriented. But I want to start off the show as I have every year since I started this, because it's a part of my, I guess, my history, my past, and my experiences with the anniversary yesterday of the Marshall University plane crash back in 1970 on November 14th. Plane crash was, I don't know how many people. I think it was like, oh, shoot, I just had the number. Either way.
75. I think it was 75.
That's what I thought. 75 people on the plane at Marshall crashed. They had just lost a close game to ECU. Marshall was interesting back then. If you don't know the history of Marshall, it's kind of been a shady place several times, cheating and recruiting. It's hard to recruit to Huntington, West Virginia. And they had been through kind of a I don't want to say dark days of their program, but just a lot of scandals. I mean, they had 100 violations, and then they finally hired a coach that they felt like could kind of get it right. Right. And they turned it around. They were winning a little bit more, but they were doing it in a clean way. And then the plane crash happened. And so the anniversary of that was yesterday. And so just want to remember that. Just want to keep that memory alive because I coached at Marshall for a year, and Huntington, West Virginia is an extremely, extremely special place. And if you haven't been, if you're in the Midwest area, I would challenge you to pick a game one year. Maybe try to find a big home game on your schedule and go down to Huntington, because when I got there, I was at Florida for 5 years before that. Obviously grew up an Ohio State person my whole life. And so I got my first full-time job at Marshall, which, you know, you expect to step down from the Florida SEC fan bases down to, you know, what was, I think we were the Conference USA at the time. I expected a letdown of passion and support, and boy, was I blown away that it is not like that. I mean, after the plane crash, a couple of people, you know, obviously they interviewed people talking about the plane crash, and one person said it was like the Kennedy assassination. Everybody knows where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news, because you talk about a tight-knit community, a coal community down in Huntington. I mean, that they are very passionate about their football team, and the plane crash only heightened that. It's honestly crazy. I got my first job there. I got hired. I moved there. I was with my then wife and baby infant son. So this is 11 years ago, cause he's 11 now. And we went out to eat somewhere, and we sat down, and someone walked over to me and said, "Aren't you Zach Smith?" I was like, "Huh?" You know, I've never been recognized anywhere, cause who the fuck am I? Right. I was a GA at Florida. I just got hired first time coach as a receiver coach at Marshall. And I was like, "Yeah, I am." He was like, and this dude just started being like, "Man, we're so happy to have you here." Like, I was like, "Whoa, this dude just recognized me. Who I'm nobody." Like,
yeah, and this is like early message board days almost, or even before that. I mean, that's really deep in kind of being recognized like that. Has to kind of be a real wake up call.
Well, it was kind of creepy. I was like, "Jesus, man, why the hell do you know who I am?" You know what I mean? Like, I kind of got creeped out, but it's a cool place. And I'm going to give you the blueprint. Ready? Pick your game, go down there, get down there Friday, or, you know, some of those games are on weeknights, but there's two things you got to do. All right. The first thing you got to do when you wake up in the morning, you got to go to Tudor's Biscuit World. All right, Chris, write this shit
Tudor's
down.
Tudor's Biscuit World. All right.
Here going. I'm just
no pad is up. All right.
I'm gonna pick a game. Maybe we'll all go down. Tudor's Biscuit World it is stupid how good this breakfast sandwiches are. It's all homemade, like buttermilk biscuits. Like when they say there's bacon on it, it's not like McDonald's microwave bacon. You're talking thick ass, big pieces of bacon. And so my go-to was the Thundering Herd Biscuit, right? If you're going to go to a Marshall game, you got to get Thundering Herd Biscuit. It's got homemade buttermilk biscuit, a sausage patty, a big, thick sausage patty, a hash brown potato, scrambled eggs, sliced cheese. I'm telling you, this thing is like, it's a monster. It's so big.
I'm a breakfast sandwich dude. So this is like, you've never had like, sounds like it. I believe you.
And Huntington was actually, they did that. Like, I forget what it's called on the Food Network, but it was named the fattest city in America. And there's a reason, right? Hillbilly hot dog. You go to Hillbilly. I'm not saying go to Hillbilly hot dog, but it is a thing to see. Anything in the world you want, you can get it on a hot dog. Like, what do you want? You want you know, bacon, egg, you want bacon, egg, and cheese? They'll put it on a hot dog for you. I mean, you name it.
Hey, how did Randy Moss stay fast down there, man? Because I know that boy loves food like that. How did he stay fast?
He ain't from Huntington. He just lived in Huntington. So you got to go. You got to get Tudor's Biscuit World, and then you got to go to the sports bar that's right on the corner by the stadium called Fat Patty's. I'm talking about great food, great atmosphere, great people. And then the state, I'm telling you, we played West Virginia my first year, and we almost upset them. They came to Huntington. It was one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been in. So highly, highly recommend checking it out. While you're there, there's an awesome fountain that if you go during the year before November 14th, it's like a, you know, 6,500-pound fountain that was dedicated in memory of the plane crash. Really cool mm-hmm. place. And if you've seen the movie We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey, I mean, that encapsulates the whole vibe and feeling down there. And one of the coolest things I think I've seen is there were six players on that plane that couldn't be identified, and they're all buried together in the Spring Hill Cemetery there in Huntington, overlooking the university. And it's really, I guess, moving to sit there. You're especially as a football coach, right? Like, I'm coaching players at the university, and you go up there to that cemetery, like, wow, like these kids were like the kids I'm coaching. Like, there's coaches that same thing. I mean, just wild. Wild. But I do have a funny story for you, Chris, about, and it's not really funny considering there was a tragic plane crash, but there is a runway, right? The Huntington Airport is not a big airport, and it's up on a mountain. So you can already imagine how terrifying that is, right? Like, you're flying through the mountains. You have to land on the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we charter a jet, right, to fly the whole team. And at my first away game, we're sitting there talking as we're waiting for the plane to be prepared. I was talking to one of the pilots, and he was like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, this runway is exactly the minimum length that we have to have to fly this plane. And I was like, oh, that fucking makes me feel good. The minimum. So when they fly in and land at Huntington, one, you're whipping through the mountains trying to make it to this runway, and then they can't like casually bring it in and land it. Like,
they gotta break you.
Well, they gotta hit the very beginning of the runway, or else you're going off the mountain. And then they got to hit the brakes super hard. So they slam that thing down and hit the brakes. And it's like every time we did, I think we played five away games. Every time I was terrified for my life.
That is
every single time.
That's messed up, man. It's like, this is the absolute bare minimum legally required.
Right. And so I'm there, and this is before the season. Like, I had already heard about this, right? They told me stories about it. Well, that there's an incident at the airport. This is probably over the summer before the season began. And, a plane flew in and didn't hit it right. It went a little too late, and they had installed this new technology, right? It was like concrete, but it was softer. So something like the weight of a plane would actually sink into it, right? So it would grab it and stop it before it falls off the mountain. And this plane had to utilize that. Like, it went into it and stopped right before it went off the cliff. And they interviewed a guy after, and they were like, "What? Tell us about the technology, whatever." And he was like, "Honestly, we're just really fired up that it actually worked." And I'm like, "Whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, that's not encouraging.
What do you mean? Like, he was like, "Whoa, it worked. Oh God. Oh, we didn't know if it would."
Yeah, no, no, sir. No, sir. Oh, no,
like,
sir.
This is wild. So anyway, Q, really, really cool place. Awesome place. I really enjoyed my time there. I've told a number of stories about my crazy ass booster that lived next door to me that would give me moonshine. He let me live in his house for free. He bought the neighbor's house and let me live there for free. And then, and he would get, I mean, blackout drunk every day and come over to my house. And one time he had a key to my house. Obviously he owned it. I woke up in the morning and his shoes were in my house. A bunch of leftovers were open on the counter in the kitchen, and he was nowhere to be found. I was like, what is going on? So I left for work, and my then wife texted me a picture about 2 hours later. She went on a walk with our son and dogs, and this dude was passed out on his driveway.
that boy was living way too large, man. They got to tell him to chill out. Gee whiz.
But it's a unique place. I used to come down the hill of Ritter Park. There was a gas station. I would stop there, and there'd be like crack whores, like hookers outside the gas station asking if you wanted anything a little extra.
Corner demons.
No thanks. Just here for coffee. But wanted to tell that story because I just to remember those coaches and players that were lost and the you know the job they did after that to bring Marshall back. And shout out to Coach Huff there from Alabama, who's the head coach, at Marshall and doing a good job. So just wanted to mention that, bring that up, but we can move on from that. What do you got for me today, Chris?
Okay, so there was you know, your Twitter was kind of a war zone last week, and I want to start with this, because me and you talked about how, you know, Caleb Williams wasn't elite, and you became the punching bag for the whole state of Oklahoma. In fact, the entire Big 12, I think, was coming for you, using the same four replies and the same four pictures. They were on you relentlessly. Then Saturday happened, and it was just silence.
Yeah, silence. I mean, no one had anything to say. And two takes that I've had this year were, I don't want to say validated. One of them, I made a statement about week two or three. I can't remember. I think it was maybe before the Red River Shootout, about Kennedy Brooks. I said he's not really a home run back, right? He's a solid back, a good back, but not, he's not a, you know, an 8 yard, 9 yard per carry back. And then he went off in that game. I'm like, all right, I take it back, right? He showed me basically he performed better than I thought he could. Well, then you fast forward to this loss against Baylor, and it wasn't Kennedy Brooks. He is a dynamic player, but the offense as a whole was putrid, right? So he averaged under 4 yards a carry, and just had an average game. But again, that wasn't on him. But the real story here is, like I said 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, when Reggie Bush said Oklahoma and Ohio State are right on the fringe or making the playoffs mainly due to elite quarterback play. And when he said it, I was like, like the record got pulled off. I was like, because of what? Elite? What the fuck is elite mean? We're going to call that elite? Even CJ Stroud has not played elite, right? Elite. Caleb Williams, he played teams that were in the 120s in pass defense. And I even said the next three games, he's going to face defenses that he's never seen yet, right? Guys, people that can kind of cover, can defend passes. And Baylor was 81st in the country in pass defense. They're the worst defense of the three opponents he has remaining that he's going to face. And he looked awful.
He looked like he didn't belong. He looked like he did not belong on the field. And it's crazy, Zach, because 2 weeks ago, there was like this like weird Heisman whisper coming from down south.
Well, it's just ridiculous. And because he did make some terrific plays. It just wasn't, as a quarterback, it was more of a baller and an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. He made some unbelievable runs. He had the fourth down play where he ripped the ball from the running back and got the first down. Like, he made some unbelievable plays, but he wasn't an elite quarterback. Like, he didn't drop back and make crazy NFL throws and just dice people up like Aiden O'Connell did against Ohio State. Like, he never had that, right?
Right.
It was bad. It was a bad take to call him elite. Now, as I, to kind of quantify or qualify my statement, I wasn't saying he wasn't a good quarterback, and I think we already talked about it. I was just saying he's not in that Heisman conversation. He's not that level of player yet. And Saturday it was proven the case, right? And the shit show that I called it is still a shit show. One Oklahoma fan had the audacity to tell me that because they have two Heisman caliber quarterbacks. I was like, sir, I beg to differ. They have zero Heisman caliber quarterbacks.
Two Heisman caliber quarterbacks that went for a combined 182 yards, 14 of 25, and two interceptions against
I mean, a QBR against, of 40.
Yeah, and 15 for Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler, QB1. just awful. And now Oklahoma's out of the conversation. They will certainly lose another game. And everything that I've said all year will be proven right, I guess. Really, honestly, I love the fact that they lost. And it's not even – I want Oklahoma to make the playoffs. I would love Oklahoma to make a national title game. Like, I would love that. Like, it's not even a vendetta for Oklahoma. It's just the unrealistic approach to social media and coverage from the media, from people like RJ Young's flaming douchebag ass, and and their fan base. Like, just get – I can't stand delusional fans. I really can't. And I can't,
especially delusional fans with a platform are the worst.
Well, no doubt. And I think we can probably end talking about RJ Young after today, because what he did, I mean, I actually thought he was pretty good when he had just had a YouTube channel.
Just a YouTube channel. No, I thought he was good too. He did his research. He was usually kind of the voice of reason for unstable fan bases. And since then it's gone totally left.
Yeah, he was always a little too theatrical for me, even when he was on YouTube, where it was like, "What's up, everybody? This is RJ Young, where we do a video every single day." And I'm like, "Bro, relax, just talk." Like, he was a little too theatrical for me, but I did enjoy his show. And then he got to Fox and he went full on like clickbait insanity. I mean, he has UTSA ranked third in the country. I mean, geez, what are we talking about? Anyways, we don't need to talk about RJ Young, but man, I know that just hurt his soul to see Oklahoma Sooners go down to Baylor. But the playoff picture's kind of getting a little clearer, only to probably get real muddy at the end.
No, it does look pretty clear. And it's funny, Zach, because one of the things that I wanted to ask you today, going into today's show, I wanted to ask you, if your son was a, you know, a four-star, five-star quarterback, who would you rather him go play for, Ryan Day or Lincoln Riley? And now I feel like I can't ask that question, especially given what we've seen from Spencer Rattler and now with Caleb Williams. So I'll reserve that for when one of those two looks good again. But like you said, the playoff picture, it looks a little more clear today. A couple things that caught my attention. I thought Michigan played good enough. I'm not super sold on them as an elite team, but I thought they played really, really well, and they kind of held that number six spot. Michigan State getting a win, finally, like, thankfully, because it seems to be the week before Ohio State plays teams they tend to lose. And then Notre Dame quietly, Zach, is inching its way. It's going to be a top seven team, I think, and I think that bodes well for one team, and it's Cincinnati. So it's becoming more clear now, but there are a couple of big staples coming up, obviously leading up to that Alabama versus Georgia game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. The Alabama Georgia game is going to be huge. It'll be interesting to see how Oregon finishes and Ohio State finishes and some of these teams, and all signs will point, or all eyes will be on the rivalry game. Right. And this is what we waited for. Buckeye fans and Michigan fans. Like, we've waited for, God, I don't know how long has it been since both teams were nationally relevant, where that game is going to decide something. It's not just a spoiler game now, right? Assuming no one screws it up this week, that game is going to mean a lot. Like, winner goes to Indy. Winner possibly goes to the college football playoff. Loser does not, right? It is finally going to have more to it. And not that it needed more. I mean, the rivalry in and of itself is already full of passion and bad blood, but now you're going to add postseason aspiration, hopes, and dreams into that rivalry. It's going to be the biggest game that I can remember, honestly, in this series.
I think the only game that really challenges it for, like, in terms of, like, national implications was the JT was short year. I believe Michigan was ranked number five and Ohio State was up there as well. And obviously that was, like, you know, winner makes the playoff type game. But this one feels a little bit different because I think both teams are actually more complete this time around. And now it's starting to, like, as we get late in the year, Zach, a lot of the flaws are kind of coming to fruit. Like, you know, you can see them on a weekly basis, and now everything does feel like it means a little bit more. And I have two questions about Ohio State flaws as kind of we hit this home stretch. My first, I'm gonna leave with quarterbacks. Actually, my first question is this: do you worry, or as a coach, do you ever get worried about the psyche of someone that is, you know, kind of been labeled as soft, or maybe not the do everything, maybe not the warrior guy, going into rivalry weeks and kind of the magnitude of that? Like, are you worried about CJ Stroud's psyche going into these last 2 weeks?
100. I'm not worried about him this week. I am very, very worried about him going into on the road in that rivalry game, because he has never played in it. And honestly, I don't see mental toughness from him, and that's what it takes to win that game. I mean, you look at the guys that have played in that game and how they've performed, and Dwayne Haskins is probably the most like CJ Stroud when it comes to toughness. Not the toughest dude in the world, but he's also not soft. Right. He has a little bit of shit to him. Like,
he has a competitive edge, man. I'll never forget that kind of Penn really State does. Game early was a real test of competitive edge.
It was. And when he came in, when JT got hurt by the cameraman on the sideline in the Big House, and Dwayne Haskins came in, that's where you really saw it come out. Right. And it was more, Dwayne was less of a cocky, confident guy when it comes to toughness. He was more confident in his skill set and knowing that he can throw the ball at a really, really high level. And he was down to show that off. You know what I mean? And he was down to show defenses that he could just dice them up with his arm talent. And so he had a competitiveness about him, especially in that game. And no better than the third down fade ball he threw to Austin Mack, where Austin got smacked and caught the ball. I mean, he just a pinpoint accurate throw. And you just saw that, like, the toughness come out of him, not in running the ball, not in taking hits.
No, he did. He did have a long run that game too.
He did. Which, God willing, we'll see that at some point this year. Maybe if a backup gets in or something. But But yeah, I think you're going to learn a lot about CJ Stroud, and I'm worried about it in that rivalry game. I mean, that's a game where you got to do whatever it takes to win. I mean, this is, we're talking about that game is the biggest game of the year, you know, bar none. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to do some things to win the game, especially with how the defense performed on Saturday. I mean, at this point in the season, what are we, 10 weeks in? You can't say, well, they're going to need to get that cleaned up. Shit, we got, I mean, 2 weeks and the regular season's over. Like, it's time. It is what it is. Like, yeah, we got to try to make it a little bit better, but we got to find ways to win games with the issues we have, right? And I guess to that point in the Purdue game, my biggest thing on defense was they have to make sure David Bell doesn't beat them, right? He's going to get his touches. He's going to get his all yards. That. I mean, he averaged something like 17 yards a catch. He only averaged 9 against us or against Ohio State. He had 11 catches for 100 yards, but he didn't score, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of did David Bell just – or did their job, right? They didn't let David Bell beat him, but they got diced up and carved up by everybody else, though, and – the most frustrating thing was, I said it in a preview when I broke it down. Aiden O'Connell is the type of quarterback where if you protect him and you give him time and he gets a little momentum, he gets hot as shit. And boy, did he ever. I mean, 40 of 52, 400, almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And it was a lot of dinks and dunks, right? It was a lot of soft coverage. I mean, he averaged 7.5 yards per completion. It's just, he wasn't destroying them down the field, but he was just efficiently throwing the ball in this defense, and it's scary. It's scary if we face a better skilled team with the way our defense played, and hopefully at some point we're going to start contesting some of these throws, because it just, you can't win games that way.
Right, you can't win games that way. I want to ask you about Shaw, because he's kind of been the consistent punching back here for the last couple of weeks. First of all, I would assume it's probably too late in the season to switch that around. I at least I don't think from a coach's standpoint, you would assume that if there was a better option, they felt better about an option, they would have made that switch. But is Shaw the issue? Can he be on the field against for a championship run?
Listen, I didn't think Bryson Shaw played his worst game on Saturday, and I know a lot of people maybe will look at it that way, but I thought he just played okay. I mean, he only gave up 3 catches. Granted, they were for, you know, he gave up some yards, and he does. Mm-hmm. He's not a great player, and I think that's what people are expecting. He had the one touchdown he gave up that everyone's going to talk about, but I thought he played decent. Now that doesn't mean I think he is a solid player for the defense. I just don't think Saturday was an indicative of him being, you know, the weakest link. I think there's other games that I, you know, come to mind that kind of exposed him a little bit.
No, I think Nebraska was probably his worst game.
Oh, no doubt Nebraska was his worst game, but I don't know. I don't know what other options they have. I mean, Lathan Ransom was a guy that I thought would have been nice to see. You know, I don't know.
So I believe Cam Martinez is now his backup primarily, kind of where we're at now.
Still, I asked on my show and no one got back to me. I feel like, I don't know what happened to Cam Martinez. Like, is he even, he doesn't even play anymore. And I really liked him early in the year. And I don't know.
I thought he was really good and offered a lot of upside, especially when he got his hands on the ball. Always felt like he was in the right place at the right time. But I don't know where he went either. Williams said, I know, came on strong, and they kind of moved Cam Martinez to the back. But, you know, I almost wish it's too late for them to make the switch, I think, Zach. Like you said, I mean, if things aren't getting ironed out, they're not getting ironed out. But I would like to see Cam Martinez back there instead of Shaw.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it would be nice to see, right? Because Bryson Shaw is just, he's a young player. He's not ready yet. And he's kind of playing out of position because of Josh Proctor breaking his leg. But I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you this much. Here's the most frustrating thing for me, I think, is every snap Cameron Brown is on the sideline is a mistake, right? Denzel mm-hmm. Burke is going to be a great player, but they went after his ass in this game. Now they had a clear plan to go after the freshman. I mean, 14 targets on the game, where Cameron Brown has 4, Seven Banks has 4. I mean, Bryson Shaw has 4, Lathan Ransom has 4. I mean, he gets targeted 14 times. And granted, he gave up 7 yards of reception, 9 of 14. So it's not like he had a bad day. But like I said it on the
preview. Well, there was a drop touchdown too. There was that other drop touchdown.
They did have the drop touchdown. But I said it on the preview show, like, some of these games you can find out what you know, highly paid, high-level coaches think about the defense just based on how do they attack it, right? Purdue basically said, I mean, we know Purdue couldn't run the ball anyways, but they said, we're going to throw it on this defense, and we're going to take advantage of soft coverage, and when we do want to attack a DB, we're going for the freshman. And so that gives you the insight into, you know, a coach that makes probably $500,000 a year to design a plan to attack a defense. And that offensive coordinator, I don't even know who it is, just told you that his high level, highly paid ass thought the best way to attack Ohio State was to take advantage of soft zone coverage and go after Denzel Burke. And that's what they did. And honestly,
and they weren't wrong. I mean, they weren't wrong. It should have been 38 points, and 38 points against Ohio State is very good. And obviously Purdue would take it. I know that it wasn't 38, but there was the drop touchdown. Yeah, I mean,
the reality was they needed to do exactly what they did on offense, right? I mean, Aiden O'Connell didn't throw any picks. I think they had two fumbles. I don't have it in front of me. Yep. But they needed CJ Stroud to play, you know, like he has a couple times, just average. And he didn't. He played outstanding. I mean, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, 31 to 38. I mean, he was.
And the conditions were really windy. Like it was really windy.
It was really impressive. Really impressive. And I mean, that's what they needed. They needed the offense not to click, there's been a couple times this year where it hasn't. And unfortunately for them, it was clicking at the highest clip that it's clicked all year. They were cooking.
Everybody was eating, man. Chris Olave, JSN, Garrett Wilson, Trey Henderson. I mean, Mayan Williams really is solidified that. Well, it's already been solidified, but that number two guy, and he was running with more anger than I'd seen him run with this year. Everything was hitting. Now, I have a question for you, kind of like the recruiting nerd insider side of me. So I love message boards. I'm a message board warrior a little bit. I like combing through them. How often, dog, are coaches made aware of stuff that's posted on message boards?
You know what? Every now and then, most of the time, like at Ohio State, Mark Pantone and some, you know, not only Mark Pantone obviously runs the show when it comes to recruiting and everything's going on. So he always has an ear to what's going on in message boards. What are people saying about X recruit or Y recruit? So, and not that he peruses message boards all day long, but interns do, and they make him aware of things. And then he also goes on there. I never went on a message board when I was a full-time coach, and I don't think anyone did, but if something was going on or something came up that you might want to know about, people told you, right? Mm-hmm. You found out about it.
Was it ever, you ever get like a little competitive advantage about someone else's message board if something got out?
Yeah. I mean, we had our interns, you know, go through opponents' message boards. Like if we're playing Penn State that week, they would go through it and try to see what they could see. But the most common thing it's used for is recruiting because those people, I mean, it'll be like a janitor at the high school will be like, listen, I'm telling you, he's going to Ohio State. And you're like, what, how do you, this dude's a janitor. He's saying that, like you can get a vibe. And then also those people that work for those sites. I mean, some of them are really good and they can feed you information. It's like being in the CIA or something, right? I'm trying to get this kid to commit. I need to get all the covert information I can. I'm trying to gather information with spies to figure out how to get this kid to come to Ohio State. And some of those people are assets to do that.
Okay. No, noted and noted. Well, Zach, I don't have anything the rest of the day. Later this week, though, I do want to take another stab at some receiver talk just because people kind of were adding me a little bit about Garrett Wilson and all that, who I absolutely love. And then I do want to talk later on this week. Obviously, we're going to go into a little bit more depth than you're going to do on your big show, Michigan State versus Ohio State. And then we're going to revisit Heisman talk as well sometime this week. And the big news is if you have not gotten your tickets yet to come out to the tailgate, please go get them. I'll be there. Zach will be there. Braxton will be there. Other players will be there. And where can people get tickets about that, Zach?
So just go to, there's on Eventbrite if you type charging with a one for the I, or just go to my social media. I'm actually going to post about it here after this show goes out. But it's going to be a great time, man. Shade on the Canal Wings, probably the best wings in Columbus. Revelry Tavern providing like 3 different sides and you know, cheesy potatoes and Nashville hot chicken dip with fresh pita bread. I mean, just bomb food. Oh, and Giant Eagles, I don't know what they're going to give this week. I got to call them, but they've given pulled pork, sliders, Hawaiian sliders, like just bomb food. It's not shitty hamburgers and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And then sponsored by Buckeye Vodka, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Corona, White Claw. We got a tequila and we got a rum and we got everything. It's a loaded bar. And the best part about it is, one, it's covered. Two, it's got heaters. It's got 3 flat screen TVs. And the best part is private heated indoor bathrooms. It's not porta potties. It's not pee behind the dumpster. I'm talking about you go in, shut the door. You're in a bathroom by yourself with toilet paper and a toilet that is clean. So it's a rarity down on campus for game day.
Yes, sir.
So nothing else. Come hang out just to take a piss. But it's going to be bomb, man. It's going to be a great time. I'm trying to get Josh Pate to stop by from
Late kick. He's dope. Josh, one of the best out.
He's my favorite. One of my favorite people in sports media. He's going to be in town. Game day is going to be in town. It's going to be a wild atmosphere right next to Varsity Club. Come check it out. We'll be down there. Get your tickets and come hang out.
Yes, sir. All right, Tom.
We'll be back tomorrow. Man,
Menace out.